I did it. Okay.
Blog Talk
All right,
Radio.
Everybody.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome, everybody, again. If you're just joining us, my name is Reverend Angie Ass. I'm a registered Lilydale medium, and I am with Linda Else, Feng Shui expert Linda Elson, owner of Feng Shui Your World, and I love talking to Linda, and you will too. Linda has so much information to share with us, Feng Shui holiday tips. We're winding up Year of the Tiger, right, Linda?
Yes,
this year flew by. So everybody, if you come on, we'd love to have you say hi, and we love to hear where you're from too. And also, we'll take some questions, right, Linda, too, as we
get. Oh, for sure, absolutely.
Yes, if you have questions, we want you to ask. So I want to read to you a little bit about Linda. So Linda is founder and owner of Feng Shui Your World. Linda Elson is a certified Feng Shui practitioner, a graduate of the American School of Classical Feng Shui, and member of the International Feng Shui Guild. Linda is passionately driven to help others enrich and empower their lives through Feng Shui. Her own transformation came some 30 years ago when a friend gave her a book on the topic. Her life was never the same after that. I love that. She took a big leap and left corporate life to found Feng Shui Your World after receiving her certification. Today, the company stands 20 years strong. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah,
that's awesome. And offers comprehensive services for residential and commercial properties throughout North America. Self-empowerment, I love that, is a journey, and Linda walks the path, continuing to study with world masters and evolving the company's services to better serve her clients. From individual consultations to educational seminars and assistance with buying and selling homes, Linda's mission remains the same, to help you experience the empowering benefits of Feng Shui in your life. Join us on the adventure. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you. Yeah, pleasure to be here, Angie, as always.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you that because I always feel that too. I always want people to feel empowered. You know, when I do readings or whatever I do, that's always my mission. So tell us a little bit about how does Feng Shui empower you and empower your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, as you said in the intro, you know, Feng Shui is the ancient art and science of placement, and it's the study of energy and elements and placement in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought and the theory with Feng Shui is that your whole life is mapped out throughout your physical space. So whether you realize it or not, you're not just living in this container and, you know, you love your couch from Ashley or wherever it's from.
Right.
If you have the knowledge and the awareness through Feng Shui that your home is a living, breathing tool that you can work to tap into the harmony of that,
Yeah. That
is an empowering thought. So with the type of Feng Shui that I practice, which is traditional classical form Feng Shui, we look at how energy changes over time. So it's all about being in rhythm and harmony with nature. We think about like introducing plants, we would say that's wood elements in our home, or, you know, lighting some candles at mealtime, or, you know, stoking up the fireplace at this time of year, working with the fire elements, et cetera. That in this style of Feng Shui, very specific to your home, we look at where you need kind of like acupuncture for the home, the elements, the earth, the fire, the metal, the water, the wood. But then every one of these sectors has a theme. We'll talk about career or our spirituality or our health and our family or our wealth and abundance, what we're passionate about in life, our personal relationships, our children or our own creativity or the helpful people, our friendship circles or, you know, developing our spirituality, like, you know, visiting Lily Dale and, you know, working with them in beautiful classes like that you offer at Santosha. And if you think about it, that in a very mindful way to your feng shui, you're doing a little bit here and there in every sector. It's creating this little support system. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about you, and it's not just about me and our home. But when we take, really, I feel it's a level of personal responsibility to do that in our own lives. It creates a ripple effect out to our neighborhood, out to our community. And ultimately, believe it or not, and I truly believe this, out to the world. So it's like, it's not only an enrichment personal development tool, but it's kind of, you know, you taking your step to, I believe, contributing to world peace. Yeah. That's a big statement, but I really do believe that.
I do too. I believe the same thing. And I think sometimes people think like, what can I do? How can I create world peace? And you can, because if you take care of yourself and you take care of your energy, it ripples out every time, I feel. So it's one person affects another and another and another. So we can make a difference.
Yeah. And I also want to say, going back to the idea of it's a journey, you know, mm-hmm. this level of feng shui that I practice and share and teach and consult with is not just about like your home or your life standing still. Of course, we're always evolving as human beings, some of us more so than others. But sometimes when we feel like there's so much going on in life, oh, there's nothing I can do, I'm like, yeah, you can. How about painting that wall? How about cleaning out that drawer? And that might sound so simplistic, like really, I can paint a wall and clean out a drawer and feel better. And you really can. Yeah. And I invite you to, you know, start doing some feng shui experiments. And, you know, like I may say, like, you know, if you feel like helpless or, you know, you got to move some energy in that career and your love life, you know, go into that particular sector, clean out a drawer for 20 minutes, power through that closet, actually follow through and go make those donations to charity. And then keep a little journal. Like, where did you maybe see a shift or an opening? I never cease to marvel at, you know, the openings that take place. Some are small, and some are big, but yeah, they're all to be celebrated. And I think that's part of the fun of feng shui,
yeah,
part of the magic. But that's the idea that we don't just stand still. Energy changes over time. That's part of the journey aspect, too. And it's an honoring and yeah, and a knowing, too, if you will.
Yeah, and I love that there that you say that there's something you can do. It's like, what thing can I do today? Maybe sometimes you feel like nothing is in my control, but you can paint a wall, like you said. I just have to just share two, and I know you know these stories, but I'll share them so everybody else gets to hear. But I remember when my husband was trying to find a job. He had finished nursing school, and he couldn't find a job, and he was looking and looking. And I happened to talk to you, and you said, well, you know, how the sector of the house, what room is that? And I said, oh, that's the junk room. You know, we have all kinds of junk. And she said, that's not helping. And I said, really? I said, so what can I do? Because we were at that helpless, like, oh, my gosh, you know, he went to school. He's never going to find a job. And you said, clean that room and organize it and hang up his certificate from college that he finished and be proud of that. And yeah, we did that. I told him, and he's like, what? How does that make sense? And I said, it does. I feel it's right. And we did it. And I think within 2 weeks he had a job.
Yeah. I remember getting that phone call, and we were very excited for him. That's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to jump off that idea of you saying, you know, oh, I had a junk room. Now, right, so a room is a pretty big thing to have a lot of junk in it, and I'm not just picking on Angie, but believe it or not, in feng shui circles, and I do teach classes and I coach on clutter clearing with feng shui, you can actually have a junk drawer. I will give everyone permission, Flip, including myself, you can actually have a junk drawer.
Okay, you're allowed.
Just not a whole room
of
it.
That's good, because I have to have one. You have to have that place, like otherwise it clutters. And clutter is important too, right? I wanted to ask you about
that. Well, it is, because think about it. And we go back to being in rhythm and harmony with nature. I mean, nature abhors a vacuum. And so it's always evolving. But I always say when it starts getting a little chaotic or stacking up, it's just there to, you know, kind of catch your attention, like, woohoo,
yeah,
slow down, or
yeah,
hey, let's redirect a little bit and let's power and purge. It's amazing, you know, what a sense of personal accomplishment you can have. But again, I think the fun is to see like getting a job, right? That's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you see the magic and the openings happening? So, yeah, I invite you to, even in this busy holiday season, this is a tip for all of us. I mean, I think we can all find 20 minutes in a day to purge to get some energy moving. I think a lot of us decorate for the holidays, so we naturally have to like make room for a tree or, you know, some sort of, you know, holiday baubles or whatever we do. So it's a natural time of year, believe it or not, even though a lot of us get super busy with all those additional, you know, engagements and fun like that. But it's so, again, good opportunity to set the timer on your cell phone, your kitchen timer, you know, you just have it be uninterrupted. Don't answer the ping or the ding of the text, and just see how you can, you know, start creating some openings. It's a good foray too into preparing for that upcoming year of the rabbit, because, you know, January is the time that we really do want to purge and clean, and we're preparing to welcome that fresh new energy in. But we'll get down there to talk more about that.
Yeah, and you feel like that too. You know, you in January, like I find like a natural part of me that wants to organize everything at that time. And I wanted to say this too. You're right. That like when I say, okay, fine, I don't know what to do, I'll clean out the drawer or I'll clean something or organize something. It's almost like as I'm clearing the clutter in that drawer, I'm clearing the clutter in my mind or something too.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then it winds up like I feel so much better. And then it, all of a sudden it seems like, oh, I know what I can do. I'm excited about my life again or something. Right.
Yeah, and in the clarity or the space, like you said, like a new idea might come to you, a new insight, or, you know, just like, oh, I'm taking a deep breath now, you know, and I'm exhaling, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. You know what I think, too, I like that you say that, too, about set 20 minutes on the timer, because I think sometimes people don't do it because they think I don't have all day, and once I start, I can't stop. So it's like set the timer, and you can get a lot done in 20 minutes and then do it a little more the next day. And it doesn't
take
over your whole
life. And the interesting thing is, too, I always say, you know, when you get really excited about clearing and purging and all that kind of good stuff, minimum of 20 minutes to spring you into action, but never more than 4 hours in a day. Because it could be too much. Like some people say, I'm going to spend the whole weekend cleaning out the garage. It's probably going to be too much. Because when you start working with feng shui and you think, I'm just throwing things out, well, it kind of gets into a whole mind, body, spirit, mental thing too. And when you're kind of like purging at that, not just throwing papers out, but how does that impact me in that part of my home? Like you gave the story of your husband in that room. Like it was holding him back, whether you realized it or not, and now you did, from getting a job. So it's like, you know, when you're processing at all that level, you know, it takes a lot of energy to do that. So that's why I say never more than 4 hours at a time. And I remember many years ago, and I am a testimony to this. I don't know what possessed me, but I was like going on a trip to Prague. So I was like leaving on a European flight, I think the very next day. I don't remember if we were like getting something new in our basement. Was it a furnace or something? But I don't know, something possessed me to like just start like purging and clearing our basement. And I think I did spend the whole day doing it. And I was like in this mode. And by the time I was like getting ready to, you know, hop on an airplane to a European flight, I guess it was a good thing that it was like an 8+ hour flight, because I needed all of that to recover from that. I'm like, oh, that's why they say never more than 4 hours in a given time, let alone before you're going to go on an international flight.
Yeah.
But there really is something.
Well,
like that,
yeah,
so.
I think so, too, because you were probably exhausted. It's exhausting when you spend too much time on it. And I think you have to remember, too, that like when you're cleaning it out and you're organizing, you're also organizing your mind, you're processing things. Like I'll be thinking, you know, when I'm doing things like that, or, you know, letting go of things as I'm throwing things out. So that's probably part of the reason why you don't want to take too much time either, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I wanted to ask you this, because here's my other story that I don't even know if I've even told you this one in years, but I think before I even knew you, I came to a class. And you were talking about the different sectors, because every room in our house, like north or south or whatever, is a sector that represents something in your life. Is that how you would describe
that?
That
is right. That's right.
Okay. So I remember, and I don't remember why, but I remember I talked to you about my kitchen in my house. And there was something about my kitchen that I felt like the energy in it. The whole house had great energy, but I didn't like the kitchen. You know, there was something about the energy. And you said there was something about the sector it was in, or it wasn't like in the perfect place in the house, something. And so then, so I said, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because I can't change that, you know, change where my kitchen is in the house.
Right.
You know, right? Yeah. So what am I going to do about that? So you told me, though, to add, like, I put a smiling Buddha in there. I put some chimes in there. I put some things in there. And I was pretty surprised because I'd lived there a long time, never liked the energy. And I did that, and the energy shifted.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about – can you talk about that? Why?
Because, you know, whatever sector that was in, and I don't quite recall where it was, but we can just talk about it like kind of like backing up in all of our homes, that in a particular given sector, if there's a part of our home that doesn't feel right, chances are, and I often will find this when I go out and I'm consulting, that sometimes there's an imbalance in the elements. So like for an example, maybe a particular room needs the water element, and water element in feng shui color-wise are like blues or blacks. So from like baby blue to midnight blue, and black meaning accenting. You know, I don't advocate painting a whole room black. Honestly, I think it's too much,
yeah.
Too yin. But say that room, maybe your room, let's give that example. Maybe your room is painted off a beautiful shade of blue and you're like, oh, I love it, but somehow it doesn't feel right. But then you find out like it really needs the fire element. And fire elements could be colors like reds, pinks, oranges, purple, anything bright, warm, sassy, or even like opening the blinds and draperies more, or maybe the need for a little more additional lighting. Yeah. So if you have a room that's all blue, but you really need, you know, fire elements, well, think about it. In nature, we all know this. Water and fire are a conflict. It's like if the fire's here, you got the bucket of water, it keeps putting out the fire. So that example might contribute to a person not having enough vitality or always feeling like I get going in this sector, like maybe in my love life, and it's like almost then it's like someone throws a wet blanket on it. But when we come in and we're like, hey, you know, you're maybe not going to paint your walls fire engine red, how many of us would, but again, maybe we can add a little more lighting, we can sass up a throw pillow or two that's in a, you know, a sassy, you know, pumpkin or cinnamon color, or lighting mm-hmm. some additional candles. Those are ways that we can start shifting some energy and then observe that and be like, huh, and now all of a sudden it feels good in here. And remember, too, that idea that your whole life is mapped out throughout your physical space. And for some of you, you might be familiar with the Bagua map. Others may not. Yeah. On my website, which is fengshuiyourworld.com, somewhere in there, and I don't know what to tell you which page to go on, but we actually, if you join our newsletter, free copy of the Bagua map. So look for that on my website. Maybe sometime in this, this day of being on chat, we'll pop that in there, or after the broadcast, I can pop a link in there. If you want to learn a little bit more of the map, and you're like, maybe you want to zero in on like your career, or, you know, helping your children a little bit more in your life, or like, hey, I need a little boost, in my health. Does that make sense, Angie?
Makes sense. And actually what I'm doing is I'm putting the banner up. So there we go. Did I do
okay,
that?
Yeah. So okay. It's in there. Just look for a newsletter sign up. You'll see a little picture of like an octagon, and that's where you want to sign up for the newsletter, and we'll send you a complimentary Bagua map to work with. I also believe we have the five element guide in there too.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, everybody. Like you won't be able to believe like how, like the little tips you give. And the things that you say, try this, try that, and it does change it. It works. So, okay, so I have to ask you this, okay? You were quoted in the Feng Shui Guild, the International Feng Shui Guild. If it is broken, fix it. Leaky taps immediately. That was good.
Yeah, and that is one of my favorite quotes. So thank you, International Feng Shui Guild, for quoting me. And that was featured in an article on prosperity. So you think about, really, what are my taps, what are my faucets, what does my leaky basement have to do with prosperity? Well, believe it or not, it has a lot to do with it. So again, that whole idea that your whole life is mapped out throughout your physical space. So there's two things that I have found over time. So leaky taps, even like that little tiny little drip, you know, in the bathroom sink or in the kitchen, or that little bit of seepage that comes out in heavy rains in your basement. Whenever there is any kind of a leak, of water that is synonymous with a leak or a drain. Sometimes it's more dramatic than others in people's homes, a leak or a drain of finances. So whether you can, you know, do it yourself or find a good plumber, like make that a priority. I've also have found that a lot of times too, and this was at another deeper level, if anyone has any water issues, like a leak and things like that, a lot of times too, that relates to some something emotional going on. You know, whether you realize it or not, that could be at a subconscious level. So two good motivations to fix those leaky taps. That includes the exterior of your home as well. If there's a gutter that has a constant leak, you get the idea. Like either do it yourself or call someone to take care of it. But you'd be amazed at, you know, and I had, you know, one of my clients posted on Facebook when I put that quote and she said, well, we recently, you know, had to bring out a plumber and then he found something else. And wow, that was a little bit of drain on my finances, but it's good to know that'll help turn it around. Well, yeah, sometimes you have to invest a little to make a little. So
that's
I think that's an important investment. Don't let that go on the wayside or turn a blind eye to it.
And probably I agree with you that there probably is something emotional, and if you, and anybody that has that issue, stop and think about it. And probably when you fix the water, that's going to help somehow that you're fixing the emotional issue as well.
Yeah. And again, when we quiet ourselves down, you know, and we pay attention to that, we can, you know, maybe sometimes come up with the answer to what that is, or afterwards going, oh, aha, you know.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I love it too. And even if it's broken, fix it. Because I remember you telling me, like, if a light bulb is out, change it. You know, if something,
absolutely,
if there's, you know, any
that's
little thing
simple
that's broken in the house, take care of it.
You better believe it. And again, you know, it's just like doing a quick survey. It's just like, oh, I'll get to it. But again, it might just seem something so small, like, you know, a wiggly little, you know, doorknob handle. Well, if that's the main door to your house and every day you got to, like, really jiggle it, whether you realize it or not, like, that's draining on your energy. And again, what sector is it in? You know, is it in your spirituality sector and you keep meaning to, you know, take the personal development class and you never kind of get, you know, get going with it? Again, just pay attention to it. But light bulbs, oh my gosh, super easy. Like, they blow out, change it, you know?
Yeah, do something with it right away. You know what I wanted to go back to when you were talking about the blue wall and the red? So if you have a blue wall and it doesn't feel right and you need to add, like, say, some fire element to it, you don't have to, you don't have to repaint the wall. I mean,
say to people, you know, you start small. And that's my, I love to give that analogy of, like, kind of like doing acupuncture to the home. You know, when you start working with feng shui, it's like you can just add a little bit of an element. So like I said, you know, like you can keep your blue wall and maybe it's just not practical or, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, you're not going to change that. But like maybe, you know, like I said, maybe like, you know, some decorative candles, maybe, you know, inserting some new artwork that has a little bit of those warmer fire colors.
Yeah.
That one example, I mean, it wasn't fire and water, but like in Angie's kitchen, I just want you to pay attention to all of our kitchens. You know, fire element is a big element in our kitchens because we all have stoves, So like that isn't like a, you know, a stove isn't painted red, but we turn on a burner, whether it's electric or gas.
Yeah.
And gas is actually more prominent, right? Because it's an actual live flame. And I always say whenever we can, you know, work with the live, you know, natural elements, all the better. But for different reasons, you know, some like gas, some like electric. But regardless, the stove represents fire element. But touching back to prosperity, all of our stoves, no matter what sector it's in, whether it's helpful people or health or our reputation, that stove is also synonymous with prosperity. So, you know, if you need to do a good scrub, you know, take off all the burner covers, you know, wipe it down. I also always give the suggestion and the tip that we should also rotate in the use of our burners. You know, I know I have a favorite burner on my stove, and I think we probably all do, but to keep the energy moving and flowing, we should rotate, you know, what we use, even though we probably all have a favorite. Like, I have a favorite burner that I love to put my tea kettle on. But I rotate it, you know, even when I'm, you know, when I'm cooking and stuff. You know,
I remember you said that with the stove, and I have an electric stove, and it has those tin thing, you know, not the flat top, it has those tin things under, and they were looking pretty dirty, and I thought I need to scrub them, and I didn't, though. I went to Bed Bath & Beyond, you can buy them there, and they're like $8, so I did that, and I changed it, and it shifted the energy in the kitchen.
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, rather than, you know, all that elbow grease, they're really inexpensive to replace. So, yes. It's just about, like, replacing it. Absolutely.
Yes. So I'm excited because it's almost time for your yearly, your annual feng shui tips and change of the energy and all the things that we have to do. So let's talk about that and Year of the Tiger coming to an end, and we're getting ready for Year of the Rabbit. It's exciting.
It is exciting. This is probably my favorite time of year as a feng shui practitioner because I go into such a deep, deep research cave doing what I absolutely love to ultimately present it to my clients, my students, et cetera. And I always get out my big red pen and go, this is correct, this isn't correct. And but it's a great time of learning. Like, I will forever be a lifelong student of feng shui and will always be continuing my journey in my mastery studies. But, you know, one of the things I say, you know, we are going to be going into a new period of time, but we have to still pay attention to the Year of the Tiger, which we are still in, because this is especially one of those years where I say, it is not over till it's over. So just so you know, or some of you may not know, certainly, you know, we name years with the Lunar New Year. And we'll get into more of this after the first, Angie, maybe I'll come on again after the first of the year.
Oh,
we'll
absolutely.
Talk a
and
more
and
about,
we have to do New Year's, remember?
Yeah, preparing home. And, But the energy change, while it's, you know, Happy New Year became the Year of the Tiger, the annual energy in feng shui always changes on February the 4th. It's a static date. It changes with the farmer's almanac calendar. So I want you to know this. We all have just a little over 2 more months of the tiger energy. And while there is usually like a shift that starts taking place, and I'm asked that every year if I start to feel energy ahead of time, and I do, I haven't felt it yet. But there's like this changing of the guard. But this tiger year has been so big, it's been so intense, that's why I say it's not over till it's over. So I kind of want to do a little bit of a recap with you and kind of give you a little guidance as we're going into the holidays about what you can do, we can all do in our home to kind of navigate this residual energy. And why this year has been so very, very potent is we think, okay, it's the year of the tiger. But it hasn't been just the year of one tiger. It's been the year of the three tigers. Because when you look at an in-depth overall chart of the year, imagine like 3 wild animals show up in your life. And you're like, whoa, what are we going to do with this one?
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. If we knew how to tame the tiger this year, we could have made that tiger into a pussycat. So I hope a lot of my clients and feng shui students that, you know, we're with us for that annual energy class, which I teach every year in January. And by the way, Year of the Rabbit class will be announced next weekend. So stay tuned. Coming from Santosha and myself, Andy and Santosha will be the co-hosts of Feng Shui Your World. We're really excited about that.
Yeah,
but Rabbit's coming soon.
Yeah.
But there was opportunity in the Year of the Tiger, and there was money to be made. And I know that so much of the year has been a focus on the state of the economy and how much goods were costing extra. But, you know, for some of us, you know, there was money to be made if you knew how to tame the tiger. Now, some of you I know learned how to tame the tiger. For those of you who didn't, don't worry. Again, it's not over till it's over. I'll just do a little Black Friday plug that a promotion we had going. So on our website, fengshuiyourworld.com, if you go to our shop page, and after the broadcast, I'll make sure I pop some of these links in.
I'm
not savvy enough to know how to do that right now, but that's okay.
Wait a minute, what page? I'll put it in there.
The shop page, and if you go to the shop page, Andy, and you'll see our graphic for the tiger, the tiger class is 50% off right now. So when I say it's not over till it's over, if you are feeling so inclined to learn a little bit about tiger, this is how I want to guide you in the majors, and I'm going to guide you with some holiday tips.
Yeah.
You know, every year there are do's and don'ts to where you spend time in your home or where you don't. Where you maybe renovate or, you know, change furniture all around and where you don't. So where you could tap into really prosperous energy or where you want to say, nice kitty, tiger, you know, be nice to me and my family. So the tiger, these three tigers, has been in the northeast part of the home. So I want you to think about this. We probably all have a sense of where the rising sun is in our house. So that's a little bit over to the left. And that's the area where we wanted to keep a little bit more quiet. But we were just talking about prosperity. This is the area of the home where we can really still, in the next 2 months of the tiger, still tap into this abundant energy. So maybe even as you're, you know, you're decorating, or, you know, if you're in gift giving mode for the holiday season, you know, you can, when you go on and you order our Feng Shui Bagua map online, when you join our newsletter, you can look at a Bagua map, identify where the Northeast is in any room, You can look at it where it's in your house, but in any room.
Okay.
Maybe that's the corner of your living room where you'll start stacking up some of your holiday presents. Think about presents are symbols of abundance. Or, you know, for those of us who celebrate traditional Christmas and we think about, you know, Santa Claus, it could be a good spot for Santa Claus. When you get the idea, like something representational. Like if it's your son or daughter's room, it could be where the piggy bank is. But remember and know, this is where the money luck is for the year.
Yeah.
Another really important thing that I need to stress and share is this has been a year where a lot of people's buttons could have been pushed. And it was a year where we really had to keep our tempers in check. Yeah. And where did this show up? This showed up in the East family sector. So some of us just gathered with family for Thanksgiving. Maybe we learned a couple of lessons, what we want to do differently over, you know, Christmas or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah, doing something a little bit different. So the lesson is, and the message is, to know that we need to take some deep breaths. We need to work a little bit harder this past year, but even in these next 2 months, to make sure we take our steps towards creating that peace in our family, like breathe before you speak or whatever that is. You know, one of my favorite little feng shui tips or stones that you can use is, you know, you can maybe like tuck a little piece of rose quartz crystal in that East family sector, or put it behind one of your family photos, or
because
you could wear it
love,
in jewelry,
right?
Or
that's
keep it in your,
that's
you know. You know what I want to say too, you know, the East is associated with the wood elements. So for those of us who like to have like maybe a Christmas cactus or, you know, a holiday tree, you could even maybe put a couple of pieces of rose quartz crystal on the bottom base of that Christmas tree holder. I mean, there's lots of creative ways that you can do that. And you know what too? Good old-fashioned sea salt, right? We can buy it at the supermarket, a bowl of sea salt, maybe like tucked under, you know, the couch where, you know, the family's going to be gathering. Sea salt helps absorb.
And that's,
you know,
going to make a difference. And that, and so that's kind of like all these things you're saying, like when you're talking about it was year of the tiger, tame the tiger. These are the things that are going to help tame the tiger, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So simple, easy things that we would, you know, like have in our home, like sea salt. And it is specific that it's sea salt, not iodized salt. And what you think about, like, when we get have the opportunity to go to the ocean, how cleansing and awesome that feels. When even if we breathe in that the air mist, or we get to dive into that ocean water, it's very cleansing. So that's why sea salt. I use sea salt too when I do space clearings or guide people, you know, in doing that in their home. But like, just there's that practical of feng shui, like right with the family, like you know, think before you speak, take a deep breath. You know, then the feng shui tip, the little, you know, the feng shui, maybe the rose quartz crystal that you would add in, or again, adding some sea salt. So there's practical, there's symbolic, and then there's, you know, what can I do and go shopping in my own home to make that a little bit more supportive. Another thing that I have to say that's been a very big theme in the year of the tiger, and it's just another reminder as we go into kind of a little bit more indulgent type season, is it's been a big year for all of us to be mindful and taking care of our health. And when I say all of us, that's because the weekend five star has been in the center core of our home. It also was in the sector for women. So, you know, the women, it's us, it's, you know, the matriarchs of the family, you know, some health things could have come up that, you know, that needed our attention this year. And what I said in the class is, you know, when I share the different wisdom of the year, I don't share it to be like, you know, to scare people, but it can be empowering too. I mean, certainly sometimes bigger things.
Because then it's awareness, right? Because then we're aware that that's what the energy is, and we can do things to tame the tiger, and then and then be empowered, which is what
that's
we're
right.
About
so, like an empowerment tip that I shared health-wise this year was this wasn't a year, and it still isn't in the next 2 months. To ignore if something came up health-wise, even if it was like a tiny little cough that you had, or, oh yeah, I keep meaning to follow up on that screening appointment. Like, I don't think I ever had so many little screenings in my life. They were all fantastic, but I really made the effort to do that. Whether you do that you know, with a traditional doctor or your favorite holistic practitioner or going to your favorite health food store and, you know, getting a supportive supplement. I mean, you get the idea. There's so many ways that we support ourselves. But also, again, now the practical, going into a more indulgent type of season, we tend to, a lot of us tend to maybe eat a little bit more, have different sweets or tastes that we wouldn't necessarily have. Now, this is a tip specifically for women. Stomach has been a big thing this year, too. So, like, take your extra steps to, you know, maybe be mindful of what you're eating, maybe get some, you know, enzymes. I mean, we all know how to self-regulate. But, and then from a, like, a holiday decor and decorating standpoint, how do we support health a little bit more? We strengthen it with the metal element. So maybe that is decoratively moving something like a beautiful silver star in the center. We call that the chi center of our home. Or also in the Southwest. The Southwest rules the area for women. It also rules partnership. But health-wise, it particularly, you know, zeroes in on the woman. So maybe putting some holiday sleigh bells or a beautiful, you know, gold angel in that particular spot or two because it's partnership. So, you know, again, there's different ways to work with it. But there's practical, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not a year to ignore. Or, listen, you know, if something did creep up this year, give yourself grace and know, like, listen, there was a bigger energetic pattern here. Because I think sometimes, Andy, I don't know if you find this, but I think that when, you know, we're talking to probably a very spiritual audience, if you wouldn't be tuning into Lilydale Blog Talk Radio if you weren't. But I think sometimes when we are spiritual people, we kind of like wear that spirituality as a badge of honor. And if something does come up health-wise, we're like, oh my God, how could that have come up with me? Like, I meditate every day.
Very
and I take my homeopathy. Well, you know, just sometimes there is something bigger than ourselves and we need to honor that. And we need to say, like, that's okay. And sometimes, you know, it's just part of, like, how the dance's energy is playing out. But, again, not a year to ignore. And you can still use all your wonderful spiritual tools to work through that. But, Angie, I'm sure you can relate to that.
Oh, I can. And I totally can because I feel that way. Whenever I have something go wrong, it's like, what the heck? You know, I should know better. But, you know, I think for me it's always a reminder, too, I have to take care of myself, too.
100%.
Right? Because I think those of us in spirituality, we take care of everybody. You know, that's what we want to do. And we love doing that. And sometimes, like, I know for myself, it's like I'm at the bottom of the list, you know.
And that's another thing. Self-care was a very big theme in the year of the tiger. So, again, I can, you know, always, I think it's always a great thing to do, but especially. And, you know, just back to women for a second, it could be a year. And, again, we have two more months. Women could have had a little bit more stress in their lives this year. So we need to cut ourselves some slack. I know another, you know, pivotal time of year that's coming up. And Angie, I know that you're going to be doing a beautiful meditation on the solstice.
Yes.
And I'm sure you'll tell everyone a little bit more about that. But the solstice is coming up, right? The longest day of the year coming up at the end of December. And that's a day that we really do go more inward. Angie, I think it's either the 20th or the 21st this year. It's always a little bit different.
Yeah,
and when are you reading your meditation?
Yeah, 24. We have it on the 21st.
I'm hoping to be able to try to make that in person. But that is a day where it is so powerful to go inward, to meditate, to just be still. It is not a big push day. So, you know, I have feng shui masters that won't schedule anything in their calendar a couple days before, a couple days after. And then, of course, you know, for those of us who celebrate, you know, the Christmas holiday, you know, it's within a couple of days of that.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to do the opposite swing and say for anybody who does need to accomplish, even though we're going into more of a hibernation period, you know, as we go into the winter, at least here in this hemisphere, that there is a little bit more opportunity with Tiger to really do something like an extra push business-wise before, you know, there's that big changing of the guard with Rabbit. We'll talk about Rabbit in a second. So, you know, there could be an opportunity coming up that maybe you like revisits itself and is catching your attention. And I would say, pay attention, go for it, follow through. And then where is the career sector? And it's been great in the year of the tiger and lots of opportunity.
Yeah.
That's the north. And we think about water element, like that color blue and going with flow. So maybe it's, you know, adding, you know, some, you know, part of the blue celebration of Hanukkah in that area or some blue holiday bulbs or, you know, you get the idea.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, Linda, there's a question. Hi, Cindy. Cindy Clare. Could you suggest a great book for those of us that aren't familiar with feng shui to understand the practice?
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite books is Lillian Tu. She has just Lillian T-O-O. And she has a book called The Encyclopedia, The Complete Encyclopedia of Feng Shui. And I really like that book a lot because, number one, it is probably the closest in alignment to the type of feng shui that I practice. So when you hear me on radio shows or you take one of my classes, so she has the same kind of approach to the Bagua map as I do. When we talk about like a crystal, or Angie mentioned a wind chime, hanging a wind chime in her kitchen and she noticed a lift of energy, she does also get into some symbolic feng shui as well. She's been one of my masters over the years as well. So, you know, she's an awesome lady. She's also a fascinating lady. She was actually she's a hardcore businesswoman. She's a Harvard Business School graduate. She lives in Malaysia. And she has the distinction of being the very first female banking president in all of Hong Kong. Now, in that part of the world, feng shui is a way of life. But I would recommend that book. It's very good. I recently taught a class called Discover with Feng Shui down in Ellicottville. We talked about tapping into the mountain energy, so she gets into a little bit of landform. But I think like if you're potentially interested in taking our upcoming Year of the Rabbit class, which again, we'll be announcing next weekend, coming up in January. That could also be a great book to dive into to learn a little bit more about feng shui. I also will do a little shameless promotion and say we also have a promotion on our additional videos on my website on the shop page at fengshuiyourworld.com. We have 15% off of our Feng Shui Essentials video. So that's a class I taught on demand, and you can watch it on demand, and it'll introduce you and lead you and guide you around to how to work with the Bagua, how to work with the elements. And I think it's only a little bit over an hour. So it's a really easy class and also a great day in case you need to learn a little bit more and want to learn a little bit more before you take a little bit more of an advanced level class with our annual energy of the Year of the Rabbit.
So they could take that, like go on your page and purchase that class, and it's on special.
Yeah, and like I said, it's on special right now. It's on special. I'll give you a little hint, guys. Technically on special till tonight at midnight. We're also going to be announcing tomorrow some Cyber Monday sale. So check out my business page at Feng Shui Your World right here on Facebook. We'll be announcing some Cyber Monday sales, and I will also be announcing the extension of our video down
until
the following month. So you have time to order it and time to watch it.
Yeah, definitely, everybody, because Linda's a great teacher, and they're so informative. And, you know, as you're kind of hearing here, you know, doing this changes your life. It empowers you, right, to know what's going on and to make things better. So,
yeah, also, there's lots of great handouts, too, with all of my classes. So you'll be able to download handouts, and that'll be sent with you when you make the purchase.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I was hoping you would talk about classes because I know, like, the book is good. It is excellent. I'm glad you shared the book. But, yeah, let me teach you some great classes. I think we should teach, like, some kind of maybe you should teach a class for Santosha sometime in the spring or something that's basics of feng shui or something.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while, Angie. That would be really great to revisit that.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. Yeah. Spring is, there's lots of really good energy coming in the spring.
Yeah, I think so too. So, okay, so talk a little bit about Year of the Rabbit. Okay,
Year
so
of the Rabbit.
Give us some
the
details.
Year of the Rabbit is really exciting and very pivotal what's coming up. And first of all, I'll say to you, the rabbit is actually, let me think about this, number one, two, is actually the third animal in the zodiac. And the rabbit is a yin rabbit. So when we went from the yang tiger, which we're still in, to nice rabbit, sweet rabbit. We have the feminine. So the nice rabbit coming in. And he is rabbit, sweet rabbit, is the harbinger of spring, of course. But it is going to be, there's more of a sweetness coming in, a more of a gentle energy, which I think we will all welcome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what's so pivotal about this year is it's an enormous end of a cycle coming up. So for those of you who have followed my work for years and taken my classes, you know we've been talking about the period of eight. All the way since the year 20, 2004.
Yeah.
So we look at periods of time in feng shui. So this cycle is ending. This is the last year of a 20-year cycle of the period of eight. So the rabbit is going to be the concluding animal of that. And it's going to be the changing of the guard from period of eight to period of nine. And it's this whole idea of this, so exciting, rise in universal global spirituality. And I know that, you know, we Angie, as a member of Lilydale, I know that this is your mission and what you do.
Oh, yes.
But I think that, you know, you all and we all are just so excited at the thought of like that expanded sense of consciousness and that there's something greater and higher than ourselves expanding across the globe. And that's what it is. It's universal type global energy.
Yeah, we need it. And I think you're right. I didn't know that that's what you're the rep.
Yeah, we're getting into exciting times as we go into 2023.
That's great.
Yeah, you'll be hearing me talk a lot about period of nine, 100%, because it didn't happen this year. I promised my students that I would be teaching a class on period of nine, that it either would have happened this past fall or definitely has to happen this spring. So stay tuned for that too. But, you know, that's also very practical. That's going to be a whole change in consciousness. There's going to be a lot more joy and happiness coming up in period nine. But the rabbit's going to hop in and start to bring some of that sweetness. And I think we can all say, bring the joy on, right?
Know, but
joy
is like on.
I promise you, it's period of nine. Joy, spirituality, it's on the rise. So we're going to be talking more about that. But, prepare for the sweetness.
It's funny how, and I love that too, because I think we do need that after Year of the Tiger, because it really has been. Not that Year of the Tiger has been a bad year, but you're right, there's been a lot going on, a lot.
There has. And, some of those health issues that we talked about, kind of like potentially impacting everyone, that shifts, and that's a great thing. And, for, you know, who doesn't love a little hearts and flowers and romance? More of that type energy is coming into the core of our home, even if that's falling in love with yourself all over again. But that energy, when I say that energy is coming into the home, because that's going to be what's at the center core of all of our homes. We were going to learn in my class how to tap into it. Mm-hmm. But when we take care of that core, it kind of spreads and resonates and kind of sets the tone for all of the different sectors, which again ripples out into our life, into our neighbor's life, into the community, out into the world.
Absolutely, yes. You know, it's funny that you say that with the health, because I was aware of that, and that probably is what kind of, I ended up having back surgery this year. And since that, like that's kind of led me to physical therapy, so I'm lifting weights now and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it feels really, really good because it's like I have got to take care of my health. You know, and I'm sure that comes from that energy of the tiger and everything you're talking about.
Right. So there was a blessing, and that sounds like a big surgery when we just hear that, but you're finding where is the blessing in that?
Oh, huge blessing. Yeah. The blessed in the mess.
I love that expression.
Yeah. What's the blessed in the mess? And I didn't want to go to physical therapy. I didn't know. It's like having a physical trainer. And it brings you back your vitality. It's awesome.
Yeah. So well, Angie, whatever you're doing, it's working, because I have to say, I think you look absolutely wonderful.
Oh, thank you. You do too. I always think you do too. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I love talking to you. So any last tips, any last, you know, how are we going to get through Christmas, holiday time, if we celebrate Christmas, like through that time, you know, in Year of the Tiger?
You know what? Before I do that, I just noticed a really small question came up. Okay, I'm going to answer that, and then Angie, you're going to keep me on track, and I'll answer that about the holidays too. A small question: is each room treated with separate zones of north, south, east, and west? Okay, Kathy, that's a really great question.
Yes.
So for those of you who are familiar with the Bagua map, or again, please by all means download a free copy on my website. You first look at the Bagua map. You do need to know, and if you need to learn about how to take a compass reading, check out one of my blogs. It's, you know, how to take a compass reading blog. So you do need to have a sense and know, standing in the front of your home, you know, what direction is that? Is it north? Is it south? Is it east? And it's west? Then you kind of come back in the house and you take your Bagua map, which again looks at the house divided up north, south, east, west, and then those four subdirections, the northeast, the southeast, the southwest, and the northwest. And you kind of like take your map, you stand in the center of the home, and you're like, okay, well, that's the front of my street, and that faces to the west, then, you know, then this must be southwest, and then, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how you know where the majors are, and a really quick, you know, broad brush of your space. But then, Kathy and everyone else, you can take that Bagua map, always aligning yourself within that given room, whether it's the bathroom, the living room, your master bedroom, to where that facing direction is in your house. But, like, where is that? We gave that example. Where is that northeast corner of my bedroom, of my living room? And then we talked about that's where the prosperity is for the year. So, yes, we call that working with the Bagua map on the big Tai Chi and then on the small Tai Chi. But excellent question.
Good question. Yeah, I know. I love
it. Okay, Andy, what were you asking me about?
I was asking you for a few tips around the holidays to get through the rest of the holidays during Year of the Tiger.
Okay. So I know you're probably thinking, like, does Linda Ellison only think about cleaning?
No.
But again, it's an energetic thing. There are two favorite things that I have that I feel move energy super quick, and I think we all own them. Number one is good old-fashioned sweeping, sweeping. And I'm a very big fan of right at our threshold, whether it's an apartment, it's a home, it's a dorm room, get out the broom and sweep, sweep, sweep. It's like you're moving the energy to clear it, to welcome in the new and keep it fresh.
I love
right
that.
At your threshold.
Yes.
Okay. And remember that sea salt that I mentioned, like, hey, you could tuck it underneath, you know, the couch where, you know, Aunt Matilda's going to be sitting, and, you know, we want to make sure Aunt Matilda's nice and happy and, like, absorbing everything. You know,
doesn't say anything negative or whatever, right?
Yeah. A little of that good old-fashioned sea salt that you buy at your favorite grocery store after you sweep. And I think you could sweep almost every day, but, again, you know, guests are coming or you want to just freshen it up.
Yeah.
You sprinkle a little sea salt right at your threshold. That's another really good tip. Again, this involves cleaning, but here we go. The vacuum cleaner. I am such a big fan of the vacuum.
Me too. I love vacuuming. I love sweeping too.
It's like, if you're feeling stuck, you just do a really quick vacuum. It is amazing how that perks up the energy in a given room. Now, listen, the other tip is, and I know that for even those of us who live in Western New York and we hear about the high rate of what our utilities are going to cost this winter, this may seem a little bit of extravagant, but I also think ever so often, even in, you know, the depths of winter, just crack open a little window in a room, even for a few minutes, and get a little bit of that fresh air.
Yeah.
It just helps to, you know, ionize the room and just, you know, perk it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, if we feel like we need, maybe we're not feeling very, you know, very, very festive, you know, one of the very best sectors as we're exiting the Year of the Tiger is the south. So think about this. The south is where the 12 noon sun is that comes into our home.
Okay.
So this is an area where we could really pop some extra holiday red, add a little string of lights, because this has the lucky multiplying happiness star. And who couldn't use a little bit more happiness and joy?
Sure.
And kind of just, like, you know, popping it up. But also, it's energizing. It helps us with our vitality. But it also helps to foster or light up that happiness sector.
Yeah.
That, and we call that sector in the traditional Bagua, we call that the fame and reputation sector. So,
you know,
as you're doing more radio broadcasts and stuff, that helps support that energy.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah.
And
you know what I know what you mean.
You get the idea there.
I know what you mean with sweeping. I swept outside of Santosha the other day, you know, because they had put some salt out because of our storm. But then I got carried away and I'm like, whoa, look at that. There's cobwebs up here and there's, you know, a couple cobwebs over there. And then pretty, you know, I kept on going and it changed the whole energy of the entrance to Santosha. It felt so much better.
And I love it when people say, like, you could just put you, like, it changed the energy. And I love when people say that they can feel it.
Yeah.
That's always exciting to me when my clients say, like, they moved or shifted something or they swept something and that they can, you know, they can feel
that. Me too. So, everybody, thank you, Linda. I appreciate so much that you came on. We kind of planned this last minute. And I appreciate it. Everybody, I thank you so much for joining us. We love doing this. Linda will be back soon because we're going to talk more about the Year of the Rabbit and talk again before the we're not going to talk about the annual class yet. That's being announced.
Well, I think in early January, we'll probably come on together and talk about how to prep your home.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. That sounds great. So everybody, thank you for spending time with us on your Sunday morning. Thank you, Linda. I'm Angie Apt, and I hope you all have an excellent, excellent day. Thank you. We did it.
All right.
Oh, wait, I got to go off Blog Talk. Hold on a second. There, hang on a second here. Blog Talk. And end episode.